Will you pray with me this morning? Give us bold faith, O Lord, and courageous hearts, that we might hear your word and share it with the world you so love. Amen. So we're in the middle of our summer sermon series based on stories that you submitted called The Stories That Shape Us. And we have this story today that begins with desperation and ends with bold faith. It's important to understand just how desperate the woman in this story was. The writer of Mark's gospel doesn't even give her a name, and that is not an accidental omission. By remaining nameless, she is stripped of any power from the very beginning of the story. Now there was a woman, Mark begins. Not there was a woman named Eleanor or there was a woman named Rebecca. That would draw us into relationship with her. We would know who she was if we knew her name. And Mark just begins, now there was a woman. But this woman would have been shunned, banished from the community, cast out to protect half of the community. She would have been cast out because she had been bleeding for 12 years, and her kind of bleeding was considered to be dangerous to half of the community, just to the men. And so she would have been cast out of the community to protect the men. And if you want to know more about this, if you're having trouble sleeping at night, you can turn to Leviticus 12 and 15 and read all about this, all about the health laws that surrounded bleeding women. And those laws were put in place to protect the men in the community. Young boys of this time were taught to shout at these women, "Be gone, filthy woman!" And in order to be restored to the community, the male priest had to absolve her of her sinful state. He had to say, "You are forgiven. Go in peace." Now, it's easy for us to pat ourselves on the back and be glad that we no longer live in such a society, in such a place that ignores the worth of women. After all, you have a woman preaching right now. But it should be noted that not every denomination or not every church would allow me in their pulpit, but that they would all allow my brothers in Christ to be here. Perhaps we've not come as far as we think. Globally, the oppression of women has been prominent in the news, from Malala, the young girl who was shot in Pakistan because she dared to go to school, to the schoolgirls who were abducted in Nigeria, to the thousands of girls who endure mutilation to their bodies. So despite our eagerness to believe that we have left behind this nameless sister from Mark's gospel today, we have much work to do. So let's return to her. She would have heard of Jesus' healings. The text said she had heard about Jesus. And so putting literal feet to her faith, she sets out walking to find him. She was desperate. She had spent all that she had, the text says, on treatments, and instead of getting better, she had gotten worse. In body and in spirit, she was failing. But in faith, she looks for Christ. She doesn't ask for a private meeting with him. She doesn't ask for lots of publicity. She doesn't fall down at his feet and cry out for healing. Instead, she says to herself, "If I only touch his clothing, I'll be healed." When we were working on scheduling the stories for this sermon series based on your submissions, I had no way of knowing that when I stood to preach today, the stories of so many others among us with bold faith would be resting with us. Stuart's story, and Bobby's story, and Sarah Marie's story, and my grandmother Catherine's story. The lives of saints filled with bold faith. Bobby, who continued to grace her family and friends with her optimism and her humor, even as she endured years of illness that sometimes kept her separated from her community. And Sarah Marie, who in just 2 months of life reminded her doctors and nurses at Children's Hospital that a fighting spirit is also a testimony to bold faith. And Stuart, who when he retired said to God and the church, "Here I am, send me." And he was subsequently sent to a series of adventure-filled, but sometimes really difficult interim assignments. And my grandmother, who despite the fact that we were sitting in a Missouri Synod church, said, "No, you can do that if you want to." We don't know what happened to the unnamed woman in the story today. We don't know whether she went back to her town and whether her community greeted her warmly. We don't know if she struggled to find her place again. We don't know if her family even recognized her. Did she tell the others what had happened to her? Did she join her voices with all of those who had been healed? But what we do know is that she didn't remain unnamed. Jesus called her by a term of such esteem and such endearment that he uses it nowhere else in the Gospels. Jesus called her daughter. Daughter. This month I have written more sermons for more memorial services and funerals than I care for. It's hard to experience that much loss in such a short amount of time. And time again, as I have sat at bedsides or in living rooms planning services or in the services themselves, I have heard the stories of those lives shared. And so I wonder again about this daughter and her bold faith. When she died, was her story told over and over again? It must have been, because here we are today telling it over again. It's a story that shapes us because it reminds us that very often the desperate circumstances of our lives will call for us to dig down deep into our faith, to search for even that mustard seed-sized speck of boldness that will allow us to just reach out and know that Jesus will be there. You know, praise the Lord. That seems like a good place to stop the sermon, doesn't it? But it would leave this elephant in the room. What about all of those people who boldly reached out for Jesus and died anyway? What about Sarah Marie, and what about Bobby and Stuart and Catherine and Mildred and all of the others like them? What about those schoolgirls in Nigeria? Where was Jesus then? Where was the hem of his garment then? Did their grasp just fall short? This is what we know, that the random stuff of life happens. When I met with Sarah Marie's parents, they said, "We don't want to hear any bad theology. We don't want to hear that this is part of God's plan, and we don't want to hear that she's in a better place. We don't want to hear any of that." And who can blame them? But what we could say was, this stinks. This is terrible, hard stuff. Babies and grandmas die. Cancer sometimes wins. Terrible accidents happen. Crazed, power-hungry people do horrible things while the world just watches. And in the midst of that, God is there. God is there as surely as Jesus was on the crowded road that day. God is there and God is here. With us now and with us always. We are reminded in Romans that nothing can separate us from God's love. Not trouble, not calamity, not persecution or hunger, not danger or violence, not mental illness, not cancer, not birth defects, nothing. Not death, not life. And it is this truth that allows us to live with bold faith, to live desperately in the best possible way, desperate to touch Jesus, desperate to share Jesus, and desperate to have a part of our life story be that we were bold in our witness. And then here is the gospel turn in this story. To be bold in our witness and to follow the example of Jesus in this story, to follow the example of Jesus in this story, means that we speak peace and wholeness to the nameless and to the oppressed and to the outcast and to the shunned. That the very people in our society who are forgotten, who are shamed, who are scorned, are the very people for whom and to whom we turn back, and for whom and to whom we speak peace, and for whom and to whom we speak healing. And we don't do this for our own glory. We don't do this because it's easy. We don't do this because we hope people will hear about it and come to church here. We don't do this because it will be noted of us in our last days. We do this because when we reached out in desperation and with our bold but needy faith, Jesus reached back to us and said, "Daughter, son, beloved child of mine, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole." This is the good news in this story that shapes us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day is hymn number 617. I invite you to stand as we sing.